everybody, a lot of you wanna work with VaynerMedia. Good news, we're hiring. We're hiring creators, specifically right now, and we'll keep updating this promo throughout the year. Video and design capable individuals, people that have good ideas and would know what to do if we needed to sell watermelon or bubble gum or soap or wine or sneakers. We're looking for video and image creators. Think about the stuff I put out on Instagram, that kind of stuff. Are you scrappy? Are you hungry? GaryVee.com/creators with an S. Go fill out the form. Please join our team at VaynerX, because I think some of these people are gonna go into 137, some are gonna go to Vayner Talent, mainly for VaynerMedia, and maybe the occasional person for Team Gary V. If you wanna join the VaynerX family, please go check out, specifically right now for VaynerMedia, though we save the resumes and we move them around, to GaryVee.com/creators with an S.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
We appreciate you coming on. I know you're a busy man, so we definitely appreciate it. To be honest, I did not expect you to reply to that DM to be on here.
You know, it's funny, Tyler. I get 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 a day, a week. You know, I get bombarded. And I just think, yeah, it's super important to give back. And what I mean by that is, and I don't want this to sound like I think I'm special or I'm a douche, but like I'm aware that my 30 minutes is really hard for me, has a lot of value for me. And that by doing this show, I feel like, first of all, I love this fucking card thing, so it's fun. But two, I'm not naive. I know that this is a big get and will probably springboard your podcast in a real way, will lead to you being, have more juice in the game. And I think that's cool. Like that, I'm like flattered. That blows me away from where I came from, that I could do something like be on someone's show and it actually means something. Makes me happy, and I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, of course.
Well, we definitely appreciate
you coming on.
So I guess we'll dive right into the first question. I'm not gonna be a total asshole to you. I know I've been a big
he saves that for us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what the good news is, bro? Honestly, I don't struggle with much. Like I don't think persistence is asshole. I don't think people that initially think I'm a dick is asshole. I really don't. I'm deeply understanding of the human psyche. So a lot of things make sense to me. So you can ask me a million questions. I'm here for you. Let's rock and roll. Whatever you want.
All right. I guess let's dive right in. So how do you feel about people taking your words to the extreme when it comes to cards? We call it the Gary V effect. Like if you post a card, right, and then immediately on eBay, it jumps, it triples in price.
I think about it in a couple ways. One, I worry about it because I know that I'm gonna be the 800th most followed person talking about sports cards in 24 months.
Yeah. Right?
So the first place that my brain goes when you ask that question is, what's that gonna look like when it's Dwayne Wade, or when it's, you know, 2 Chainz, or when it's, you know, Ryan Reynolds? So like that is the first thing that my mind goes into, which is that. Number two, I worry because if you look at the history of every single player I have mentioned in any shape or form, the track record of their actual on-field play is extraordinarily high outside of injury. Right? Like,
yeah.
Darren Fox got banged up, but honestly, I have more conviction about Darren Fox today than I did even then. Right? So like, you know, like when people are like, first of all, when people talk about me pumping and dumping, I haven't sold a single card. Very hard to be pump and dump when you don't have the dump part.
Makes sense.
Number two, the people that I talk about, it blows my mind that, and I'm very aware of what I've posted. And I want to post 13 times a day about players and cards.
Yeah.
But I do it once every 13 weeks because I'm aware of what's happening. I don't think it's a stretch to be excited about Mookie Betts or Devin Booker or Luka Doncic or LeBron or Giannis. Like these are the people, like, you know, it's not like I'm talking about, like, I haven't said a word about the following people: Zion, high risk, in my opinion, because production.
Thank you.
No, but could turn out to be unbelievable because he's a fucking beast, but high risk, wasn't interesting for me to talk about. You've not seen a single word out of my mouth about Jason Dominguez. When people shit on me on Twitter, I go look at their accounts. They're shitting on me on like talking about Devin Booker or Luka.
Thank you for Booker.
And they're fucking talking about Jason Dominguez and Wander Franco. Do you know how much of a true gamble that is?
Yeah, it's a gamble.
Yeah. So yeah, Dominguez is 16 right now, and people are dropping like a Bentley on him.
Correct. So to me, I'm aware of it, which is why I've evolved. I wasn't aware of it at first. Then I became aware. Like, oh, by the way, Acuna and Juan Soto. Like, I don't know. Feeling pretty fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, like, but once I started seeing certain things happen post that, I definitely got into a place of like, and you've seen it. I'm trying different things. I've blurred the card because I want to talk about cards because I love it, but I don't want to do that. It feels scarier to me. You know, the number one thing I'm settling in is if I'm going to talk about a card, I'm going to probably talk about how much I own at that moment because I don't own a lot. It's not like I've never owned like a trillion cards of it. Like I've always been up, like pretty upfront, like win with me or lose with me.
Yeah.
Or what I really want, which is don't listen to me, listen to yourself.
Yeah, and that's one thing I like to preach, and I probably preach a lot of it, is people to think for themselves, not listen to everybody that has money. Just do what you do. You don't need to listen to everybody.
My objective here is to be remarkably historically correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My objective is to like, that's right. I want people to see the receipts of when I told people to buy Luka at $35.
Yeah,
Giannis at 160, like that's real. Like everybody shit on me on being big on LeBron Chrome, but I was like, cards are about to explode. A lot of money's gonna come in. LeBron's LeBron. There's 2,000 PSA 10 Chrome base. Like this is just gonna make sense. And so when it went from $900 or $1,000 to like $3,000-$4,000, everyone's like, this is bullshit. No chance. Well, here we are where it's like, you know, today it's at 13.8, 14.2. God forbid he wins this championship or another one before he's done. You know, I don't know. My biggest struggle is that a lot of the criticism comes from places where they're doing the same actions against far higher risk thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shitting on me while pumping Bol Bol feels very hypocritical. The only difference between me and anybody else is I have a bigger audience, so I understand and respect that person who has 1,400 followers who's shitting on me but then pumps Bol Bol, because when he or she pumps Bol Bol, the market doesn't think or debate it as much. So I understand it, but if you're gonna shit on me for sharing who I think is good, you might wanna look that I've stayed very narrow across 7 to 12 people from youth and basically 80% vintage, which is just pure supply and demand in art form, and has been historically correct now for 70 years. You've done well with Mantle and Honus Wagner. You've lost on Mike Greenwell, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, and Glenn Robinson. You know what I mean? You know, like and so I feel good about what I'm doing. Don't forget, I did this before a lot of people were born. So I learned my lessons on Todd Van Poppel and Brown Beagle. And I've learned my lessons of what everybody's doing with Michael Porter Jr. And that's not to say Michael Porter Jr. is gonna be good or not. And that's not saying that if he goes off like he's been doing in the bubble that you won't get that short-term spike, but somebody's gonna be left sitting with the bag.
Oh yeah.
And to me, if you hit Mickey Mantle and Michael Jordan, you're okay with sitting with the bag because it goes down 10, 20% when things are rough, not 90%. And I feel very confident in buying vintage basketball with basketball's global popularity that when it's not as hot as it is right now, in 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years or 13 years, that I'm not going to be devastated sitting with George Gervin, high-grade rookies, or Moses Malone or Dr. J, because they'll go down, but they're not going to zero. There's a lot of people, Tyler Hero, Bol Bol, Michael Porter Jr., Devontae Graham, three or four of those guys are going to zero.
Yeah.
And when I say zero, I mean $3 for the PSA PSA 10 graded at the bottom of the next cycle, eight years from now, when they didn't end up being good because they got hurt or they just didn't end up being good, and cards demand is super soft, like at its softest that it's been in a decade, all of a sudden that's a $3, $10, $12 card.
Yeah.
When it's at the same bottom of that demand for Dr. J rookie, PSA 8, it goes from 10K to maybe 7K, 6K. It'll never be back at $100 like it was. This has been a shift. Just like Mantle and Honus Wagner and Gretzky rookies had a shift in the mid 80s to 90s when the last massive shift in sports card collecting. I think this will be the biggest shift of them all. I really do. I think this will be a bigger era than 86 to 93. And I think that's because of 86 to 93, because you have the 45, 50 year olds like me that have money. So we're going all in perpetuity. I'm holding on to my Bill Russell high grade 57 tops until I die.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. You have everyone in this era learning from the 90s and the junk wax era.
They're not though, Nate. Let me explain. They are and they're not. Let me explain. The modern, everyone's so obsessed. What happens when cards get super hot is you gamble, you dream, and you watch. Let me say it one more time. You gamble, buying high-end packs to pull the Zion.
Yeah.
More fun than being strategic and buying Clyde Drexler 86, 87 Fleer PSA 9, right? Mm-hmm. You dream, all of a sudden, you know, Dominguez and Wander and Nolan Gorman and, you know, Bol Bol are going to be fucking Stan Musial and fucking Will Chamberlain. So you dream and then you watch. It's a lot more fun to do the first two things because we can watch them on ESPN and CBS and Fox Sports. You can't watch Clyde Drexler.
No.
Yeah.
So Nate, I believe that a lot of people are going to lose because I think they're going to go long. And what we haven't seen yet, right now we are in hyper hot. It's like, you can't lose mode right now. What's going to happen is I think there's going to be a lot of maturity and evolution over the next 12 to 24 months. What will happen is, look, by the way, even in our hyper hot, I know a lot of guys who lost a ton of money on Baker Mayfield last year.
Yep.
Oh yeah, me too.
I was a Josh Rosen collector. Trust me, I know what you're talking about.
So we are in the hottest of hot, and yet you can still lose on Baker. Lamar Jackson breaks his leg in week one. People are going to lose money on Lamar Jackson of tied up money.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Not only it goes to zero, but if you're in for 1,300 and you expect 3,000 and now it's at 640 and you don't want to sell because he's still young and has upside, or you have to sell because you need liquid because, I mean, 90%, 95% of this hobby doesn't have 99%, including me, doesn't have unlimited resources to buy it forever.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Nate, the amount of Prism that is being printed, you know how much Zion PSA 10s they'll be when it's all said and done?
I meant more so we are still seeing the supply or the demand exceed the supply. You can't find anything anywhere.
Correct.
I know they're ramping it up to an extent.
Bro, they ramped it. Bro, you know how much more Luka
there
was than the year before and how much more Zion there was than Luka? Five, six, X? A shit ton.
Because they know they're printing money.
That's right, Jack. But your point is right. And this is, by the way, this is why I ended up being right about what I've been yelling about for the last 2 years. I have always been good at knowing demand. Social media, e-commerce, then within social media, Snapchat, TikTok. This is what I do. It's just weird that it stumbled on something I once loved and knew cold for a decade. I waited 6 months before I said a fucking thing. I'm like, I think sports cards are about to get insane, 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 insane. And then I laid there for 6 months saying, am I just trying to trick myself because I love this shit?
Yeah.
And like, then am I going to look stupid? To your point, Nate, we're not even close yet to the demand explosion being done. But when it settles and when half these rookies, I mean, right now, every day, and by the way, I love it because all you fucking 13, 17, 23, 31 year olds, you're me. So I love watching all the kids doing their thing. But guys, Colin Sexton is probably not going to be one of the 25 greatest players of all time.
No.
And you're going to kind of need him to be if you're long Colin Sexton at the prices he is right now. And I brought up Colin Sexton, so imagine how much shit we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just happy you mentioned Bol Bol because that was the funniest shit to me. He scores 16 points in a scrimmage and everyone loses their minds.
Bro, it wasn't even what he did in that full scrimmage. It was a single highlight.
Yeah, a single highlight.
Like that, wow, it was a really nice three-pointer. Better spend $6,000 on an NT RPA.
Guys, the amount of money historically in the next 15 years that are going to be lost on NT RPAs is going to be staggering.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's already getting there.
No, but
it's
like,
ridiculous.
But it's really predicated on the kid, because if the kid turns out to be a Hall of Famer, you won't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Terrence Davis becomes a fucking Hall of Famer and the next Kawhi Leonard, then his crazy $700 for an RPA right now, raw, of a guy who plays a little bit and shows flashes in Toronto, becomes a steal. The problem is that's going to happen for two guys. And every other RPA that's $400 to $850 is going to be a problem, because guess what? As hyped as you were for Luka, then came Zion. And as hyped as you are for Zion, here comes LaMelo. And and all of that attention and heat gets amortized and gets split up. And now people are coming in full throttle. So people are cross-pollinating. I've been obsessed with vintage basketball. Well, guess what? It's forced me to look at vintage football, because I'm like, wait a minute. If vintage basketball has gone up 30X, and this is what Jerry West cost, and this is what Bart Starr cost, and they were even, but now Jerry West is 30, you know, like, 4, 7, 13 times. Like, what that's doing is making me look over there, and that's happening to everybody. Everyone's like, people are crossing from Pokemon to basketball, and basketball to Pokemon, and soccer to basketball, and basketball to soccer, and baseball to soccer. And that all just stretches people, which means all of a sudden, the sixth best rookie in this NBA class now collapses in value, because everyone's also focused on the second best soccer player, the rare shadowless first edition Pokemon, a baseball player, old soccer. Here, now we're gonna start looking at, I'm starting to look at comic book cards from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. I'm like, wait a minute, here come all the comic book guys. Won't they maybe want to do cards? So let me look at these old Marvel sets. Upper Deck just got the license. Will that reboot Marvel? Should I be looking at old Batman 66 set? Like this is the shit that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty much. Nate.
So another one that we were wondering, do you see yourself as more of a collector or an investor, or like a mix of the two?
Investor. It's just the truth. And I know that everybody, there's people that feel that you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Mm. You have to be a hobbyist. And like, I don't want to lie. Like in between 1993 and 2000, you know, 17, when I got, you know, I collected. You know, I bought a bunch of 90 Leaf Frank Thomases because it was my card. I have some Maynard stuff. But the truth is that's 10 to 12% of my energy. And 88-90% is investor, you know. And I think that's okay, because that's America's freedom, right? Like it's supposed to be okay. Yeah. Nobody owns your perspective. In the same way that I very much am deeply empathetic with people that are collectors only, who are struggling in this era because everything got expensive. That makes sense. That sucks.
Yeah, I use the investing part of cards to pay for my collecting part of cards.
I totally understand.
It's all self-sustaining.
And that's awesome. And I use my investing side of cards eventually when I transact, how I transact, to donate money to Pencils of Promise because I want to make sure that people in Africa have schools, or to be able to pay my employees more so I can take less of a base salary. Like everyone's allowed to do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah. I collect the Arizona Cardinals, so I just sit back and lose money. It's kind of traditional.
I don't know about that, bro. If right now, I think DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, rookies are underpriced, and I think Kyler Murray is a real guy.
Yeah, I still don't know how we got Hopkins. I was huge on David. I love David Johnson. I love him to death. He's a great guy. But once I saw we got DeAndre Hopkins, I said bye.
That's cool. Johnson's a running back in a different part of his career than Hopkins. I mean, that's.
And Kenyon's been playing great when he came here, too. We don't need him today, honestly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So speaking of investing, there's a bunch of, especially on Instagram, of these like investment pages that will offer tips in order for money, like pay them, and they'll give you tips on investing. What's your take on those types of pages?
You know, I think it's very similar to what happens in Wall Street. The question becomes, if enough people pay them and they all listen, does that in fact then drive the market? while there's lower supply, yes. Once this gets leveled out, no. Look, I feel like I'd be very good if that was my business. I'm very good at sports. I've done very well at fantasy, and I've done very well at sports cards when I was a kid. Kenny Lofton, Frank Thomas, like I really did well. So look, and I think that helps people make money. Like some people just go with emotion, and if you have an analytical, strong mind. So I think that like everything in life, 20% of those things are probably fantastic and 80% of them are straight garbage.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's about what we're saying.
Is that what you're saying?
I will take that. It's just the people who like say, you pay them to say, hey, buy my cards. What's the point of that?
That's the thing, right? Like for example, and I'll never do this, but if I did that, everybody would sign up because everybody would be like, well, he has so much leverage that it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I assume, and I don't know any of the services. Something weird about me is like, I'm so focused on coming up with the ideas that sees opportunities that nobody else sees, that I'm not spending as much time figuring out who is the who's who of our industry. I want to be friends with everybody in it.
Yeah.
But I spend 100% of my time looking at population reports against perceived demands, against human psychology, against Twitter conversations and thoughts. And this, like, I'm trying to learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to take in. By the way, it's probably why I've been good so far, because I'm not worried about fucking like fighting on Twitter or trying to scam. I'm like trying to do real work and be like, wait a minute. There's only 300 Hakeem Olajuwon PSA 10 86 Fleer rookies in the world. And if he's a true top 15 player, basketball is going to truly do this. And wait a minute, Africa being the next continent that is going to get globalized the way Asia did, this might be a good 25-year play. Like, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. I think more people are focused on listening to these accounts. They're listening partway into the process. Rather than learn who to invest in, learn how to invest. That's what the kids need.
And by the way, anybody who does anything about anything who's an active young player is a complete gambling. Derrick Rose was 100% right. This is why I think there's a much more strategic thing to be done with vintage than there is with current. If you can anticipate demand, you have boxed in supply with pop numbers and it's not in wax, and you know what they did in their career. That's why I love the NBA players, because they're better than people realize, because they don't have their NBA stats reflect their ABA. But I also thought that this was going to explode and that 50-year-olds know who Moses Malone and George Gervin are, and they're going to want it just like I wanted Frank Thomas. You see where I'm going? It all makes sense. This is like common sense. This isn't I'm right, you should 100% invest in Gary Trent Jr. You have no control over that. Mm-hmm. You could be 100% right and Gary Trent Jr. could end up becoming the next Grant Hill and get hurt all the time.
Yep.
For the next 4 years. And then using Grant Hill may then still miraculously have an incredible career. Do you understand how right you would have been about Sean Livingston if this was the era of Sean Livingston coming out? Yeah. But what we didn't know that was he was destined for so many injuries that he could only be a shell of what he would have been.
Yeah.
Do the kids understand, or the grown-ups, what kind of player Sean Livingston would have been if those injuries didn't happen?
Oh, he was great.
All-time great.
He was phenomenal.
Scary different.
Every investment is a gamble when you look at it, no matter what it is. Yeah.
Fair enough. But what I will tell you is, when the NBA has its 75th anniversary next year, and you know they did a 50th anniversary, you know, top 50 players of all time, and you can kind of anticipate that they're going to do top 75 players for this year, and you know that Tim Duncan is a top 10 player of all time, yet his card, because the hobby didn't like it, or him.
Yeah.
All I heard 2 years ago, the hobby doesn't like Tim Duncan. The hobby doesn't like Peyton Manning. The hobby only likes quarterbacks. I'm like, that makes sense. I respect that. The hobby is the current state of demand.
Yes.
My point was, but here comes 2 million people, which is about 98% of the market when it's all said and done, and they're going to have different rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, I think the rookie, the card that's considered the rookie, is going to be one of the great things to watch over the next decade.
That I'm personally interested to see as the influx comes in. Negro League players have been underpriced for years.
Agreed.
And I'm just waiting for that to take off.
I for me, I agree with that, comma. I think baseball is the most mature market.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, baseball is mature. When we go to the National or other sports card shows, the 50, 60, 70-year-old guys, you know, it's, I'm sure the kids razz on them and they razz on the kids. They just look at vintage baseball. That's why I think vintage basketball was such an opportunity. Because I thought the next generation of me's, because I know all the 40 and 50, 60-year-olds that are balling, and really, really call it 50 and on 50 to 35, they're basketball.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, do you understand that Ernie Banks, I was just looking at this homework, Ernie Banks' rookie and Jerry West's rookie have basically the same amount of PSA 8s, I think. Was I comparing? It might be 7. Don't hold me to this. They basically have the same amount, right, of supply. But Ernie Banks' rookie it was 2X. And Jerry West is moving so fast that
yeah. This
might be a little, because it was a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But it was 2X. And that's when I said, bingo. I go, basketball is the culture. This guy's the fucking logo. This guy drafted fucking Kobe. When there's a Jerry West documentary of how his impact on the NBA, maybe one of the greats of all time, logo and drafting Kobe puts you right there besides what he did on the court. How the fuck is Ernie? No fucking, I mean, listen, Cubs Nation's huge. I love Ernie Banks. My best friend Brandon's a Cubs fan. I bought him an Ernie Banks rookie, I think, or he made me sit it back and it's the best. But nonetheless, it's not going to be 2X. Jerry West is going to be 2X Ernie Banks. So that's why I do like the Negro League stuff, but I also am obsessed with civil rights leaders, Ali, Jim Brown, Russell, Kareem, because obviously our country is becoming more thoughtful about that. And that's one that's interesting, not to mention those are like 4 all-time top 100 athletes. You know, a lot of interesting stuff to think about for sure.
So how do you see, you kind of answered this when, after the first question, what do you see this hobby transforming into over the next few years?
You know, look, we just had a major pandemic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out of a job. The macroeconomic situation is vulnerable. We have a very contentious election.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what the global economy or the US economy is gonna do. And look, if we go into a massive recession, sports cards are not something you eat or put over your head when it rains.
Yeah.
So you can anticipate some of that. I think that's a vulnerability. Taking that and putting it on a shelf, if not for that, if we still have stability in the macro, in the micro of the macro sports card world, I think we're very early. It's happening by the second. I mean, it's an everyday thing that there's a big headline. Everybody who's listening right now, and I'm sure for you three, every day right now, a friend in your life that isn't into this is now starting to ask you about it and want to get in instead of making fun of you about it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Especially after the LeBron and the Mike Trout.
Yep.
Those sales. Yep. A card sells for what? 3.4 million people take note.
And honestly, the normal kid is still not going to think like they can find 3-4. I think it's Adam Lefko putting cards on the TNT thing. It's, you know, I got a lot of kids following me, a lot, you know, Steve Aoki. And there's just a million things going on right now. Pack breaking on YouTube.
Yep.
And this is why I'm bullish long-term. What nobody's talking about is the 7, 8, and 9-year-olds that consume YouTube all day that are watching pack breaking all day like girls were watching makeup videos.
Yeah,
that's fair.
So there's a real big 7, 8, 9-year-old crew that's 7 or 8 years away from really making noise. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. So a segment that we normally have on our show is called Baking Biscuits, where we talk about, we like to be crazy and everything. Instead of grind our gears, we say what fucks our biscuits. So is there anything in the sports world that fucks your biscuits?
That means pisses me off?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
In the sports card world?
Sports cards, yes.
You know what? This doesn't fuck with me. I'm empathetic to it, but I think it's dangerous because it leads to contention instead of happiness because everyone should be getting along and enjoying. It's when people think their opinion of what other people should do is right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that. That same thing applies to just the world in general.
It sure does, my friend. But I think all of us in the hobby world right now recognize that the amount of time that people say, well, people should, or start a sentence with, well, nobody should, or start with, you shouldn't. I just.
You can say things instead, like, I don't like when.
Yeah.
But that's really, like, to me, if you're in the business of talking about I don't like when, then you're wasting energy on focusing on I like to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I see that.
Right? Like there's a million things that I don't, like, I don't, like, I didn't say a single thing of Project 2020.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I didn't. I was asked a million times. I didn't want to, listen, I don't want to shit on Tops because I thought it was clever. I love the artists. I don't want to shit on that. It wasn't for me. It's not how I see things. I think those are things that are going to go up and down quickly. It seems to me that that's what's happened in that, with that stuff. Like, you know, I don't like people. I mean, people, like, I think every rookie is a vulnerability. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. I think Tops and Prizm and Panini are making a lot of cards right now. And Bowman is fucking complete gambling.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Gambler's product.
And that's, by the way, that's awesome. Because I think going to Atlantic City and spending $100,000 of yours and winning or losing it is your prerogative. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of entitlement and people that think that, you know, I've had some kids in their late 20s have great combos with me of like, you're not doing this right. Fuck you. Did it. I'm like, dude, like, awesome. And I love you. And I got love. And like, let's be friends. But like, straight up, I was selling cards fucking every single day of my life when you were fucking sperm in your dad's dick.
Yeah.
So, well, so
you're not
so
struggling, like, right now. You're doing all right.
No, it's not about struggling. I would never pull the I'm what. No, no. I'm talking about you're telling me that you're right because you were here before me, and I'm reminding you that I was here before you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it? Yeah. This has nothing to do with I've been successful, so fuck you. This has been you came at me and said, you're doing this wrong. Fuck you. You're fucking this up as if you're the gatekeeper of it when I was doing it for a decade before you were born or when you were born.
No, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. By the way, I have no interest in saying that to any kid that's been doing it for the last 8 years. As a matter of fact, I love befriending all these kids because I missed a decade of context. And that's how I learned over the last 3 years. I'm like, what happened with, when did Panini come? Wait a minute, when I was, every brand had every card. Oh, exclusive, yeah. What did Upper Deck do? What the fuck is, what's trimming? What's grading? It started with for me.
Mm-hmm.
I left right before grading got going. Like, so, you know, like, I understand all of it. I respect everyone. I am not upset that I get so much judgment, heat, love, hate, because I have a very big platform and that comes with the territory. I feel great about who I am. I feel anybody that's actually met me or transacted know what I'm about as a human. I've tried to do nothing wrong. I've been unbelievably cautious to make sure that I don't do anything that upsets anybody or does anything wrong. I'm flattered when people think I'm driving it. I understand that it drives up, but like, the reality is people love to point and be like, what about Mookie Betts? I'm like, what about every other card too? And again, it's one thing if I'm sitting out here and saying like, hey, Nolan Gorman, who by the way, I think is a nice prospect. Who could be a good baseball player. It's not like I'm putting out videos like Nolan Gorman is gonna be fucking Mike Trout and his Bowman go through the fucking roof. That's reckless. That I'm saying, you know, I'm saying it about Mookie Betts and Devin Booker. And why did I say about Mookie Betts? Because I compared him and his card to Trout and Harper and Bellinger. And I'm just looking at comps. Again, all day long, fuck Gary Vee, this and that. And then you go to their page. Yo, you got to get on Dominguez.
The bowl bowl hype never ends. It's still going.
Michael Porter Jr.
Instagram loves Michael Porter Jr. Right. That man is a walking injury report.
Yeah, and by the way, it's hard not to like him when you watch him play like he's played the last couple of days, but people forget that that's a moment in time. Yeah. And I remind people that Derrick Rose looked like a fucking top 15 player of all time. There's still injuries. Bo Jackson in 1990?
Penny Hardaway.
Penny Hardaway. Like, you know, there's unlimited examples of this.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, then you've got other guys who dominate. Well, Josh Rosen didn't have, he had the hype in, but he didn't have the success on the field. Let me give you other success on the field, but their cards are not worth a fortune. Do you understand how hot, white hot Stephon Marbury was at one point? What's his rookie cards? You know, like, do you understand You know, like how hot, like, you know, great all time Ray Allen is?
All time like, great.
He's in the top 100. Yet his rookie cards are less than fucking Bol Bol.
Yeah.
I think people overcorrect to the new and undercorrect to the old. That's why I've been very consistent because I don't want to look like a fool. And I'm old now and I made those mistakes as a kid. Vintage, vintage, vintage. And then look for arbitrage within vintage. Like I'll share things I'm looking at. I'm like, I keep looking at Tim Hardaway Sr. You know, I'm like, man, he was a really fun, good player. He shouldn't be 25 to 50 cents raw for his Fleer rookie.
Yeah.
Now, I only think that goes to $5 to $12, but like, you know.
It's
but
something.
By the way, I'm so worried that cards are so expensive. I think a lot of people are going to have to find those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, it's
cards. That's why I collect what I collect. I'm sure you've seen my page. I collect Hall of Fame stuff. I'm not throwing money into investments. I just collect what I enjoy, what I collected Tyler, as a kid.
It's not meant as a razz, but I'm using this platform to explain how I roll. I haven't looked at your page. I don't know anything. I'm spending all my time doing real homework on the macro, not the micro.
Yeah.
You'd be stunned how little I know of every mover and shaker. I know a lot about you now that I like you and we're having a nice time here. But I have no concept of who's a collector, who's an investor, who's a flipper, who's not, who's vintage, who's not, who's associated with who. Like, I know nothing. I focus on my shit.
Yeah. There's so much to keep track of. It's impossible to keep track of everything that's
And I want to win. So, like, I'm spending a lot of time on looking at Mookie Betts. Do I think he's going to get a contract? You know, like, what do I think is going to happen in that Dodgers lineup? Short season. How young is he? What, you know, what's his war? Like who is he as a human? What's he going to do after baseball? Like, A-Rod, Shaq, D-Wade, people that stay in the media, a lot more interesting potentially than, let's say, a Dirk Nowitzki. You know what I mean? Like you have to pay attention to what happens next if you're playing long. I'm here for long.
Do I have enough time to ask you one more question, Gary?
Ironically, I tried to make a little extra buffer time because I knew I was going to have fun. So let's keep rooting. I know you had other questions. I know you have other questions. Ask them.
So what's the card you want the most? Like, what's your white whale, the one you treasure the most that you don't have?
I would probably say the highest grade George Mikan in the world.
Okay. I like that.
I'll tell you why. I think it's been very clear of where I sit on basketball cards and vintage specifically. And the 48 Bowman Mikan is kind of like the Honus Wagner for basketball cards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's actually, you know what? I'm going to change that a little bit as well. There's also a set, a 1968 Topps Test basketball set that is incredibly rare that I'd love to have. I have none. I'd love to have some. I'm extremely hot on, there's one set that's a modern set that's, Kaboom's inserts have my attention. So I've been spending a lot of time lately on what's the modern thing that I can feel focused on? Because as I've been talking, right? What can I focus on? And by the way, I'm gonna focus on players. Now, they're gonna have to show me at least a season and I'm gonna have to know who they are off the field and I'm gonna have to project and I'm gonna have to pray that they don't get hurt. That's why you heard Acuna, Soto, Booker from me. Got it?
Yeah.
Luka, right? Like, that's right. Yeah. And by the way, when I talked about Giannis, that was the year before he blew out. So like I did a good job with that one. That's why it was a $160. So that's what I'm gonna always look for. But then I've also been looking for, like, are there any inserts, any brands, any offshoots? Is there anything weird? And the one that I'm kind of starting to zero in on is Kaboom. And I'll tell you why, and you heard it from me before. I believe comic book culture is coming to cards. And I think that two things will benefit from it. Vintage comic book cards, the old Batman in the 60s set, the Marvel from 90, you know, like comic book cards, 75 top.
Yeah.
And I think this is early and I'm surprised I'm even sharing it because usually I'll only share because I don't want to be wrong, things that I'm like, so I'm not, but the population numbers on Kabooms, how hard they were to get, how hard they are to grade, the fact that they look like comics, who they are, the fact that there's now gold and green of 10 of one. If I always think like this, if I went into a time machine in 20 years and what was carrying an uncomfortable amount of value, would I be surprised? Or would I not be surprised? And the one that really sticks with me right now is Kaboom. What's your guys' thought? Because I'm still kind of baking. Any thoughts on that?
I personally love the Kabooms because I come from like a nerdy comic book background. That's why I love them. I love the art style. And like you said, how hard they are to get. The same thing with the Prism Color Blast cards. Mm.
I think that's good for me to hear because that's my hypothesis. Comic book land is coming. What are they going to focus on? Holy shit, is Kaboom going to really, really scratch their itch? Mm-hmm. And, look who it is, right? It's fucking top rookies, top superstars, start as basketball, obviously, is involved. But, like, who's in it is fucking epic. And it's super comic shit. And the first stuff, the 2013 stuff, was straight drawings. It's evolved a little bit. I'm hot on it. And I've got probably like 40, 50 right now, mixed, raw, and graded. It's back to me. Like, I just realized I went pretty far down this rabbit hole, so let me be transparent.
We can go rabbit hole all the time.
Yeah, go for it.
No, what I mean is, if I'm going to do public shows now, I want to be a little bit, I don't know my exact number, but it feels about 40 to 50, which is not a lot. You know, like in the scheme of like this whole pump and dump thing drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. Like that, because I understand it, because I could literally do it every day. Mm-hmm. But I just haven't done it. So that, like, you know,
yeah.
And so I think by sharing my numbers of what I'm holding when I talk about things, it might help people have a sense. People forget how much business wealth I have outside of this world.
Yeah.
Like the thought of like amassing 5,000 Mookie, let me say this number, 5,000 Mookie bets to then put out a post and then flip them is the great waste of my time. You know, one guy really went at me, and I just finally said to him because he was not being nice, and we were one on one. I was like, bro, I get paid $150,000 to give a speech. Mm-hmm. Like, for me to make $150,000 on Devin Booker, I would have had to bought this many, bought them all, flipped them all. like it just, I don't think people realize why would I ruin my reputation for economics that are big for them but not big for me? That's not smart. The same way that people that are way bigger than me wouldn't do things that I would do, right, per se, right?
Yeah.
So I just wish people were a little more thoughtful. And I wish people, what's nice though is now I've been in it a little while and a lot of people have dealt with me. And I think, I don't know if you guys have heard, maybe you can tell me or not tell me, don't make it up to make me feel good. But I think people are starting to get a sense of my kindness, humanity, what kind of guy I am, that I'm actually in it.
I would say personally, I know when you first came in, it's one of those things, change, a lot of people are scared of it. I know all three of us were a little wary at first.
I'll be honest, I was very skeptical in the beginning.
Very skeptical.
I appreciate the candor. Keep going.
Yeah. And at last year's National, I was helping work at a friend of mine's booth, and you came up and you were buying cards from him. And right then, just how you interacted with him, I was sold right then because you were just genuine.
Interesting. Thank you.
And I will say this, Gary. I know I've been one of the biggest, I guess, bashers of yours, but I appreciate how, I forget when he posted, it was a few weeks ago, where he posted the cards and he blurred it all out. I do appreciate that because people.
I'm trying things. Look, I'll be honest with you. It really stinks because I'm excited. Like, who wants to blur their fucking cards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm trying. Listen, I love this community. It was my life. Like, you have to understand, every moment I breathe air from 1985, 86 to 1993 was spent thinking about the Beckett, going to card shows, setting up. Like, it was my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I had so much fun at the Nat. Like, I literally cried at the National. Like, when I tell you, I'm going to lose my mind at next year's Chicago National in happiness.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be like a party.
I can't
wait. Oh, yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait for it.
Because that's the only time.
I actually don't even know. Like, I'd love to hear it, actually, since we're jamming. What was the cynicism? Was it, what did you think, and this is now fun because we're in a different place. What did you think I'm curious what you think I wanted to do.
My criticism wasn't necessary from you. It was from the people who took your word as gospel and tried to push that on me.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I never had an issue with you per se. It was the people who took the word,
By the way, that's happening to me in my real business life world. A lot of people hear only part of the equation.
Yes.
And then they go run with that, and then they get loud and they annoy people.
Yes.
And I see
Thank you.
So that makes sense.
Like if you hear a kid drop the F-bomb, and you ask where they heard it from, and then you blame where they heard it from, not necessarily the kid.
Yeah, I totally, it makes a ton of sense. Tyler, what about you? What was your thought?
It's pretty much exactly what what Jack said. It's right, more so.
Is it one of these things where there was a bunch of, you guys are in it, now all of a sudden comes this new breed, the only thing they know is what they're parroting from my content or maybe one other place, and they're trying to impose on you when you've been putting in the work for 3, 4, 6 years and you know what you're quote unquote talking about?
Pretty much.
Basically, yeah, that makes sense. I've been in this hobby. I'm 30 years old. I've been doing this literally since I was born. My dad's collected for 50 years.
Makes sense.
I mean, I think I genuinely have an idea of what's going on. And then all of a sudden you got people telling you like to do this, to do that. And that's just not my thing.
Is it obvious to you that it was happening for the 6 to 18 months prior to me getting loud about it, that the momentum had started building? How do you see that, Tyler?
And it was a little bit, you could tell that there was an influx coming. You just didn't know when it was going to come. And then the first video, I can't remember what you posted, what the first video was. But then when I saw that first video, my first reaction was, oh shit, here we go. And sure enough, that's when everybody started coming in. Everybody started cycling in, just making money, spending money like it was nothing. And it was a sight to see. I'll give you that. But it was something that was pretty surprising.
But let's remind everybody for the sake of the conversation, that was over two years ago. And
yes,
and that was a lot of money coming in from your perspective based on the base of that time. Those are micro numbers compared to where we are
now. Oh yeah, most definitely.
And a lot of people are like, Gary, you're going to make people lose all this. I'm like, I don't think you understand. The people that listened to me 2 years ago have already made more than everything they can lose on their inventory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
I just found it crazy how the pandemic made the card market boom the way it did. I wouldn't have expected that. And then you realize people think all they have to do is buy cards.
And Jack, you'll love this. Every time somebody's like, Gary, you, I'm like, let me tell you something. This is why you can never win when you have a big platform. I was criticized March, April, May, in May on social for not talking about cards for 3 months. Like, you remember that. You guys are in the
Yeah, street. I do. No, I trust me, I do.
Oh, fuck this. See? This is the proof.
Yeah, he's out. See? He's out now.
And he probably sold all his Acunas. I have every one of them in my safe. Like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Meanwhile, what was happening was the hobby exploded during that time. I had a company to make sure it didn't go out of business. I started a nonprofit execution called the All In Challenge and raised $61 million to feed the hungry. I was doing noble things, yet getting shit on for not, like, you know how sad it is to be in a place where you lose no matter what? You talk and you shit. You don't talk and you're shit. You talk and you're the reason it's exploding. In the same sentence, somebody goes, the hobby exploded during COVID. I didn't say shit during the first 3 months of COVID because I was trying to do the things I just said I was doing. So how the fuck do you win?
Plus, with the amount of homework that you put in, we're seeing new trends. We're seeing a lot of the similar trends that you were predicting before, but we're seeing new trends come about. So that time off could have also been interpreted as you doing homework as to new trends and keep up with those.
Yeah, I'm sharing the real truth here, which is like I was just trying to do good for the world and make sure my obligations were okay.
Yeah.
And to your point, Nate, I wish I bought on the things I believed in during that time, because once I picked my head back up in like June, July, when I went to go buy vintage, it already started moving. Mm-hmm. And now, like, the cat's out of the bag. It's just too obvious. By the way, if Gary Vaynerchuk never existed, all you youngsters that are real, like, kind of operators from an investing standpoint, not collecting, would have all gravitated there eventually anyway, because it's the actual answer to the test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Just like Tyler's dad ended, and I don't know if he was just pure collector, but having 50 years experience. Like, let me tell you this. The old men, let's call it what it is, that were talking to me in the mall of Edison, New Jersey in 1992 about Carl Yastrzemski and Fred Lynn and get them in nice shape you know, back then there was no talk about centering. It was corners and creases.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck these guys. It's all Todd Van Poppel. And fucking, you know, what, these guys don't get it. Things that my friends said around me when I got back in, they're like, Gary, nobody gives a fuck about Wilt Chamberlain. They care about Zion. I'm like, okay. Cause I already lived people telling me to buy Pete Rose and Roberto Clemente. And instead I decided to buy 4,000 David Justice rookie cards.
Yeah.
So like, you know, one of the things that was fun for me, Nate, at the National was, cause you know, again, you saw, I was there as a dealer and a part of the community.
Yeah.
I didn't have some fancy set. Like I'm there. I don't want that. Like I turned down fancy from all the companies there. Cause I want to do the show.
Yeah.
What was really fun for me though, is I could feel the hobby get a different sense with me because I spent hours and hours talking. And I don't think people really realize how much I like lived cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to talk about like 1984 to 1994, I know everything. I know everything. I know everything about how Opeachy baseball came out, was hot for 5 minutes and then wasn't. I know everything about fucking Brian Taylor and Greg Jeffries and Fuckface This and Mark Grace rookies, two guys in the same card. I can go deep, 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 deep.
Yeah.
You know, you want to talk about fucking Wally Joyner, 87 tops. I can tell you what happened. You know?
That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
And I think that I'm a mature, smart, successful operator at this point. And that's why a lot of things I'm saying, I feel great about. I understand people's cynicism. I understand people's concerns. This bubble will burst because every market goes up and down. And when it bursts, no matter how I've said it, no matter how, like, this was a great interview. I appreciate it. Like, no matter how clear I've been, I'm prepared for many people to blame me. I just know how it works.
Yeah.
You know, there will be literally guys who fucking made hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars during the up. And when they lose half of it, even though they've made more than they've ever made, will then turn and blame me because they didn't heed buying 86, 87 Fleer. They didn't heed buying 61 Fleer basketball and 57 tops football and basketball. They didn't heed what I was actually saying, and they let their emotions and greed and gambling and want of the short money make them go to some 12-year-old in Peru, and that's why they're gonna get caught.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, we definitely appreciate you coming on, Gary. Like I said, I know you're a busy man, so it means a lot to us that you came on.
Course. Tyler, gang, what questions were on the docket that we didn't get to? Let's do a rapid fire. I can't do these often, so I like to get as much out to the universe as possible. And I like you guys.
You mind if I get mine off just because I have one last one? So we've seen like a bunch of people like literally camping out at their Walmarts, Targets. They'll bring chairs. They'll bring a book next to the retail section.
And I get blamed for that a lot too. Flip Life. I've seen all the blame. Yeah. That's on Walmart.
Okay. No, I respect Walmart, that.
Guys, Cabbage Patch Kids and Power Rangers existed too. All that Walmart and Target have to do is put four per customer. And of course, people will bring their cousin and wife, but it could be better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the result. Like, I'm seeing a lot of people really push for that limit per customer. I'm glad to see that you like that.
You should. And by the way, and I don't blame the people that are going there and not limit per customer because they're living their life. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, capitalism, like they're trying to feed their family. And then this is what they like is your want of collecting, you know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. inserts that are only available at Target more valuable than another man or woman's want to pay the mortgage for their family. And this is what they think is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. Okay. This is back to who's right. Yeah. You know, like Walmart, like, but don't blame me. Don't blame somebody who's trying to do something for their family. Blame a system. Blame Tops can do it on their website, direct to consumer with limits.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So like, let's get real here. Let's have a conversation, not fucking just spew venom at each other.
Yeah. Also, how was signing for Tops? Was that cool? Like, was that a cool experience? Dude,
that was fun. I remember one of the people that dislikes me the most is like, he's only here. I got paid 25. I would have paid them 20. I got paid 25K on the record, which again is an ungodly amount of money, but like, just not for me at this point in my career. It's not why I did it. Mm-hmm. And I would have paid them 25K to have a fucking card. Are you kidding me? I was in Top Series 2. Are you nuts?
All right, that's all I got. You guys
what else? We got four more minutes. What else? Let's get more stuff that's going on.
The last question I had for you was, what's your favorite hobby story?
I'm obsessed when people find like Uncle Bob or Grandpa Johnny's like collection in the app. Like, I can't wait to garage sale. Like, you can't imagine, Tyler. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like COVID's killing me because of the national and because of garage sailing. Because I'm gonna garage sale like a mother. I'm gonna buy like old books, like 1,000 of them, take them home and open them like packs, hoping somebody slid a fucking, you know, Will Chamberlain 61 yeah. into their book. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so fired up. So I love those. I love the hunt. And yeah. I do think the hobby's gonna evolve a little. I think the hobby will follow me, not because everyone's gonna follow me because they think I'm right or I'm gonna make them money. I think they're gonna get to the same observations that I have, which is like supply and demand matter. Mm-hmm. And so if something's very rare, whether manifested by the card companies or like everybody's accepted Panini making 10 of these, but yet they're letting things that only have 10 population and are rare sit undervalued.
Yeah.
Weird shit. I for a long time talked about, and now it's finally moving and I'm pissed because I've been not paying attention, and like in a month it fucking skyrocketed. But I know that I've mentioned in the past, so I'll bring it up. I was obsessed with the 1972 Icy Bear set.
So there's a set. Oh my God. It's funny you say that because that's one of my dad's favorite sets of all time. He actually bought a bunch of them not too long ago.
Got into the hobby. I'm doing my research. I'm obsessed with vintage basketball. It's expensive. Now it's fucking, I wish I bought all of it, you know? But I'm like, these 72, first of all, I love nostalgia and marketing. I'm a marketing guy. So all the Sugar Daddy, Jack in the Box, you know, Carvel discs from the set, like all that shit fucks with me heavy. I'm into all of it.
Yeah. My dad loves shit too.
Everybody thinks it's junk. I found a guy at the National. I bought all his shit. And he's like, everyone thinks it's junk. I'm like, I think it's going to be more valuable than the fucking real shit. And I still do. I think the 85 Nike Jordan has a chance of being more valuable than the fucking 86 Fleer Jordan. Because I think shit changes and supply and demand matters. And these things are extremely rare. And they weren't manufactured rare and then put into sleeves. They're rare because it wasn't manufactured. And then it got dinged the fuck up.
Yep.
So it's more art and antique. And I just fucking love that space. So anyway, the thrill of the hunt, Nate, two ways. One, literally going to a garage sale and buying binders of first edition Shadowless Pokemon for a great deal, or finding old magazines, or finding, you know, some of the hand cut shit. I'm like learning all. Mm-hmm. I wish people knew how deep I was in this game. I'm studying every magazine that exists that has hand cut rookies in them, so I stumble on them at a thrift store or a garage sale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I know the editions of like Sports Illustrated for Kids or European stuff, or like, I'm doing the work, which is like the complete reverse of what a lot of people think I'm doing, which is like something like I'm going harder than the people that are making fun of me they go hard.
No, and I definitely appreciate that. I appreciate anyone who puts the effort.
Exactly.
Thanks, Tyler. And so I guess with the finished thought is the two things I love the most is physically hunting. Mm-hmm. Garage sales, thrift stores, and virtually hunting. Living in SGC, Beckett, and PSA pop reports, and then looking for weird stuff that I think, say to myself, okay, so wait a minute. So if I'm right about vintage basketball, which now has been proven to be true, this is me 2 years ago. Well, then there's a trickle-down effect. If 57 Russell and 61 Oscar and 69 Jabbar Alcindor go up 10x like I think it will, what are the other collateral things that will move because of that? And that's what stumbled me on Icy Bear. I'm like, these are fucking dope.
Mm-hmm.
And they're
awesome.
They're awesome. It's an awesome set. And I think it's going to go through the roof because I also think a lot of advertising people and antiquers, like cards are going to get big. It's not just sneaker kids. It's going to be lawyers. It's going to be ad executives. And the advertising executives from my world, they're going to think an Icy Bear or Sugar Daddy or Carvel or Gatorade collaboration card is actually cooler than the accepted hobby Tops or Fleer rookie.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what I think. Actually, I love the obscure shit that you can't find. Like, there's a set, it was made in the late 60s. I forget the name of it, but it was made in Wisconsin by a hot dog company. I can't remember the name. It starts with an F.
You mean Cons? Cons in Ohio?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. But you said F. I was like, what?
This is what I'm proud of, Tyler. Do you know what kind of great moment this is for me? You're deeply respected and educated in the game, and you bring up something, and I can name the set. Like, I'm doing my work.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
I mean that. I mean that. Like, if I was really doing this, just so everybody knows what it's going to look like, the bad version of me, here's what it's going to look like. They're going to pick a high production current thing that is low cost, buy them like crazy, and then, so you would pump the 13th, what pick was Giannis, 13?
You guys know off the top of your head? 14.
14, I think. 14, okay. I think.
If you're gonna do that move, you're gonna take the 14th, this is a weird draft, there was no March Madness, it's super weird. Mm-hmm. So one could claim, here's what they're gonna do. They're gonna claim that this is a weird draft and they didn't do the same kind of work, and that you love the 14th player in the draft. They're gonna load up on 14th player for fucking months. Mm-hmm. The production of fucking Prism next year is gonna be through, there's gonna be a billion.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
As they should, they have a business run. I don't get mad at them.
No, I do not blame them if they keep selling.
And they're gonna load up, and that's what they're gonna pump with no data, with no on the court, not fucking, hey, I think rare things that look like antiques and art that there's only 39 of have a shot. Not LeBron. I got shit on for LeBron James rookie. Thank you. Please, did anybody look at what Ronald Acuna did last year? How do you get shit on for that?
Yeah.
Does anybody understand Devin Booker's numbers? Plus, I knew, which is why I've been scoping the whole time, what Devin Booker thinks about fame and floss. So I knew he was also out and cared about that. I knew the Kendall thing was inevitable. I didn't know it was Kendall. But that matters. That matters for fame. That's for anybody who's listening right now. Like, listen, I understand everything. But I do think the merit of a man's words should be part of the equation. And I find it very difficult. If you look carefully, Jordan stickers, like Akeem Elijah one, like look at every piece of content I put out. Luca, like I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah. Like my Kaboom theory, like what I just said, I think it's logical.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you bring up some obscure thing, I know it's cons, like I'm on my shit. You know, I know that basketball vintage goes through the roof. You got to look at football vintage because what's going on? This doesn't make sense. You know, like, I don't know, man. But I do know this, Tyler and Jack and Nate. I got shit on in the liquor business when I first got into it. This internet's a fad. He's just a kid. Sasha, you shouldn't let your kid do these things. You're going to go out of business. Mm-hmm. And then I became curious. I know that when I started doing social media, everyone's like, you've lost your mind. The fuck is this? MySpace is stupid. It's for kids. Da da da. And then I become a genius.
Yeah.
By the way, anybody listening, quote unquote, I don't think I'm a genius. Then I started an advertising agency. Everybody shits on me. What does the wine guy know about that? Then fucking Vayner happens, right? Let me tell you what was happening in my life when I was getting shit on by everybody in the card industry. Everybody was shitting on me in the real life business world of I lost my mind. Cards are stupid. Like, ultimately, the reason I'm able to be empathetic and can understand opinions is I know my opinion of myself and your opinion of me actually don't matter. What matters is what ends up happening to be true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, wow. I can't believe we actually did this, to be honest.
Appreciate it a lot.
When Tyra said he got you, I was like, really? We're doing this?
Well, I enjoyed it. I hope everybody's having fun. If you enjoy this interview, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. I can't wait to meet every single one of you on card shows around the country once we can do it.
Yeah.
I love engaging with all of you, and I really appreciate the opportunity, gang, and we'll talk soon.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. A pleasure. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye. All right. Episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is The Immediate Application by Carlos Silva. There is so much value in what Gary says because he's speaking in the now to what to do now. I have started a clothing brand and it is so nice getting advice on what my next move should be. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Carlos. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.